Welcome back, cowboys and cowgirls. It's been a little bit, but we are here again. It's Ingles and Ian, the CowboysRideFree.com podcast. And as always, you're a good friend of mine, the defender of Duck Street, Mr. Ian. How are you doing today, buddy?
Good to be back. Good to be back. Excited to dive into some basketball, and we got so much to talk about. We've been gone for a little bit.
Yeah, and I want to get into that those who don't follow me on Twitter. I was, one, really sick for a long time. I have asthma, and I got really bad bronchitis, and it stuck with me for about a month. I'm finally on the other side of it. And also, the dedicated listeners know that there's been a relationship in my life that's been really important to me, and that relationship ended. And that was really hard, and I needed some time away from all of this and caring about Oklahoma State, which, you know, I love Oklahoma State, but sometimes you need to take a step away, and that's what I did. And but that time is over, and we're here, and we're ready to talk Oklahoma State sports with craziness going on. You know, apparently we're gonna get the Auburn DC or something like that. Ian, you've got more information about that than I do, but like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, apparently we're gonna pay more for an Auburn DC than we offered Jim Knowles.
Well, I am very curious to see how much he is going to get paid, because let's talk about this real quick. So it appears that Christian Robinson, who was Florida's linebacker coach for the past four seasons, he's going to head to Auburn as Brian Harsin's staff undergoes more changes. This is from Auburn Undercover, which is Auburn's 24/7. They said Derek Mason, Auburn's defensive coordinator last season, is poised to be named defensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. This is what has been said. The most likely scenario on the Auburn staff, we are told, is that linebackers coach and assistant coach Jeff Schmetting is the new coordinator. The search continues for a defensive line coach. It says updated. The plan appears to be Zach Etheridge to be the secondary in a walk-around role. That's Auburn stuff. But so with the departure of Mason, four of the coaches who joined Harsin after he was hired in December of 2020 are no longer with the program. So this might have been, I don't want to speculate, this might have been something where him and Harsin were butting heads on culture, because he's coming, Mason's coming in from Vanderbilt as a head coach, which I'll say this, if this is who Oklahoma State ends up getting, I absolutely love this hire. I think Derek Mason is a great guy.
And Gundy likes hiring former head coaches. So, like, you know, Knowles was a former head coach too. So,
yeah. And the fact that you got this one from Auburn, which, I mean, you know, you got your SEC hoorah, hoorah. That's very interesting. And now I wonder who Mason's going to bring with him from that staff. Is he going to take anybody from Vanderbilt? Because, you know what, I'll say this. He kind of falls under the Harbaugh tree just a little bit. Was under him for, I think, 2 years, and was, I think, with David Shaw for the last two. So, I mean, he's worked with very, very credible guys. So I think this is an outstanding move and a huge move.
If it works, yes. But the question remains, if we're going to – so this guy's already making $1.5 million a year, which is $200,000 more than we offered Knowles.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it is maybe the because I honestly think the money is on the administration side, not Gundy being cheap. And so the question is, if we offer him like 1.8, why weren't we able to offer Knowles 1.8? Or was Knowles the canary in the coal mine, basically saying, look, if you want good talent, you've got to pay for it. And we can't be second rated anymore. And that's where I'm really curious to see how this comes down. If he is the guy, I mean, if he's the guy, that's, he's either taking a pay decrease.
Hey, hold on just a second.
Or or we're going to offer him more than Knowles. One of the two. And Knowles is probably better DC than him.
I'm sorry, my dad walked in the room, so that was... What?
So what I was saying is that, like, I mean, he's... Mason's already making 1.5 at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
So to even match, we've got to offer him more than we offer Knowles. So either Knowles is a wake-up call to everyone at Oklahoma State above Gundy, who would have... He would have paid Knowles anything he wanted if he had the chance. I honestly believe that about Gundy. And but the thing is, so either one, we weren't willing to do it for Knowles, which was stupid, or two, Knowles is a wake up call to say, if we want to be on that level, we've got to spin like we're on that level. And Gundy's even brought that up, like we can be a blue blood if we want to be. But we got to spin like one. Like he's been pretty adamant about that in some of his press conferences here recently.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if he's going to be willing to take, you know, a $200,000 pay cut. If they offer him the 1.3, they offered Knowles. If that wasn't the case, well, even then, if you offer him 1.5 million, if you offer him 1.5 million, Ohio State still would have given him 1.9. So he's still getting paid more at Ohio State. So that doesn't necessarily matter.
But why would, why? So that's the question is why would he even come here for less money? And if we
maybe wanted to come for the cheese fries, dude, I don't know.
And if we had 1.5 million to spend, why didn't we throw it at Knowles? Maybe we did. I don't know. We only know what has been officially reported about those, you know, negotiations, but I'm starting to feel as though Knowles was gone no matter what.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. It looks like there's some turmoil there. If they're already trying to find guys at Auburn while he is technically still the coordinator, maybe there's something we don't know about.
Yeah. Well, and the thing too is I looked through his resume, like there's no reason for him to come to Oklahoma. There's no, you know, I want to go back home kind of ties, you know? I mean, it's wild that he's even in the conversation.
From Phoenix.
He is from Phoenix. So
he's from Phoenix. So guess who has a home and home with Oklahoma State? Arizona State in Tempe, I think.
Yeah.
Tempe. I don't think that's like the specific reason. Maybe he just wanted to change his scenery. He's like, hey, you know what? I'm sick of the SEC. I'm gonna go to Oklahoma State. Maybe by taking that job, there's better opportunities for him to be a head coach. Because I mean, look. I think
Vandy head coach for a long time, like 6-7 years.
For 6 years, yeah. I bet he saw how Oklahoma State treated Knowles. He's like, you know what? I would kind of like that. I'm going to go over here. And who knows? But look, he went 27-55 at Vanderbilt, two bowl games. It's hard to win at Vanderbilt. I'm not going to fault him for that. He got his two bowl games. And he was there for 1 year, so it wasn't like he was I don't know. And I'm thinking there's something at Auburn that is happening.
Yeah, well, maybe he doesn't like the head coach. I don't know. I mean, there could be 1,000 reasons. It just seems really bizarre. But, I mean, if Gundy's going to go out there and make a splash, getting – the Auburn DC, that's a splash and then some.
It definitely is. Which, if this does happen to be true, this might be the big, this is probably the biggest hire in Oklahoma State football history. And you can argue Gundy was there, but as far as a defensive coordinator.
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, and granted, no one really knew who Gundy was going to be. You know, he was the OC for Les Miles and all that stuff. So in terms of just like shockwaves, and this will be national news, a SEC defensive coordinator goes to the Big 12 for potentially less money. That's crazy.
Which that just might tell you how he feels about Harsin and Auburn. Maybe he just hated it there. Who knows? But maybe he was going to get fired. But his defense did pretty well, I believe.
Yeah.
I think they were fourth.
They held Bama to 12 points for the majority of the game. I mean, he's not a bad DC. It's just him making a lateral move is crazy to me.
Well, I'm not saying it's a downgrade. Some might argue that it's a downgrade because let's just play a fun game. It's called looking up Derek Mason on Twitter and searching for latest.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if it's, I mean, he's obviously a very, you don't get to be DC at Auburn for nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jim Knowles has proven his ability to create, but he also, and we've talked about this before, Jim Knowles has basically had the same guys for 4 years. And so is this somebody who can come in and turn what is basically a depleted defense at this point into something that can keep going, be, you know, on a national level? Man, if Gundy can pull this off, like, I'm talking myself into it. Like, when I first heard it, I was like, nah, this sucks. Now I'm like, yeah, maybe. No, yeah, this probably could be a good thing. I'm talking myself into it at this point.
I think it's a great move. And I know you're like, well, we need to hire a linebacker coach, which he coaches cornerbacks. Well, we just lost Jerick Bernard Converse to the transfer portal.
And if everything I've read about that is true, he's going to be a vet. Veterinarian, not, you know, vet as in serving in the military. And Oklahoma State doesn't have a good finishing. Well, that's not even true. Our vet school is one of the best in the country. So, but apparently it's pretty normal to transfer away from Oklahoma State, which I don't get, but you know, he's doing, from what all I have understood from everyone I know and all things on Twitter, is he's doing it more for his education than for football. And if that's true, that, you know, more power to him. I hate losing him. He was great in the secondary, but, you know, you got to do what's best for you. And you're 22 years old, and if you make a decision that's going to reshape your next 60 years of your life, do it. Do what's best for you.
Yeah. I don't follow them at all. It's a bummer that we're losing, but I just looked up. This is according to U.S. News. The best veterinarian schools ranked in 2019. You ready?
Yeah.
Number one is Cal Davis. Number two is Cornell, which is funny because Knowles went there. Number three is Colorado State. Number four is North Carolina State. Actually tied with North Carolina State, Ohio State, and also tied with Ohio State, Texas A&M. So there's a couple there, and you know, 8, 9, and 10 are Wisconsin, Florida, Georgia.
I'm surprised Oklahoma State doesn't rank higher. We have one of the best vet schools in the country.
It says on here we're number 26. I've also heard that LSU is going to try to make a run after him because he is from Shreveport. So that'd be a good pickup for LSU. Wherever he goes, they're going to be lucky to have him. So we'll see what he does, and best of luck to him.
Yep. So you want to talk a little basketball?
Let's do it. Yeah, okay. I'm so hesitant to talk basketball, man. They irritate me.
Oh, they frustrate me. And I actually, luckily, I was able to watch a lot of the game last night versus TCU. And it reiterates in my mind that either Boynton needs to go, or he needs to hire an OC.
Can you hire an OC in basketball? You just need an offensive mind assistant.
Yeah,
I get that.
Whatever it is, whatever, I don't care what you call it, but that team. And I've seen this before, and I saw it last year, but it was, you know, especially on the offensive side, it was masked by Cade, right? He was so good that he was able to just propel the offense, but the defense is fanatic. It is swirling. It is moving. It is dynamic. It is everything. Because I used to coach high school basketball. Like, I know what good swirling defense looks like, and it is amazing. And the moment they cross the half court line, the energy dies. And they're not even running, like, a simple motion offense would be more dynamic than what we're running. Like, yes, we can't go to the tournament because the NCAA sucks and is stupid and punished us for no freaking reason. But still, you can't expect to hold opponents to 55 points. That's stupid. If they were to even put in a simple motion, they probably score 60, 65 points a game. And they're also missing so many foul shots. They missed 10 foul shots last night. That's not something you can do. You can't go, I think it's like 23 for 33. That's not, you can't do that.
13 to 23.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you can't do that. That is insane.
So I'm just looking at the stats. I didn't watch the game, but look, the field goal percentage is roughly the same. 19 to 55 for TCU, 19 to 54 for OSU. Three-pointers, TCU 7 to 20, OSU 6 of 19. One field goal is worth the difference. Free throws, 11 to 17, and then 13 of 23. They got out rebounded 44 to 13.
Can't
out assisted, but they got steals, they got blocks, and TCU had 22 turnovers. OSU had 11.
So,
and fouls, I mean, OSU had 15 fouls, TCU had 20. So
I'm going to say this, and this is going to be really controversial, and I'm sorry to everyone who will hate me for it, but. There's a lot of people in the Cowboys referee Slack who says you can't say you should fire a coach unless you have a replacement. Well, in all honesty, besides recruiting, I think a mop with a bucket on top of it would be as good as Boynton.
You forget you. I think motivation factor is, I think, another thing. I think they like being around him. I know it doesn't matter coach wise if you're likable or not, but I feel like that has to play a factor in it somehow. And also, I mean, they did beat the number one team, but man, I just need better shooters.
Well,
There's
been
know.
An interesting thread on Twitter that I've seen over the last couple of weeks is that Boynton is a really good recruiter. He obviously is. I mean, It's got multiple five stars, everything, but he overemphasizes what he likes versus what he needs. And I think that's a really good breakdown. Like, obviously, everyone on the team watching that game last night, it's one of the second or third game I've been able to watch this year, but it was obvious on defense. Those guys swarmed. They were blocking shots. I mean, they had like 8 block shot last night, which is insane. Most people don't have 8 block shots in their career, much less in a game, you know? And there's nothing on the offensive side. If your entire identity is to hold somebody under 60 points, you're going to lose a lot of ball games. And I am worried that Boynton has recruited himself into a hole to where 60 points is what we need to win.
I think you are probably right in that area. I mean, but look at the way Baylor shot against Oklahoma State. I don't know if it was an off night, but Oklahoma State outshot Baylor by 15%. 3-point wise, like 3%. More accurate on free throws, 6 of 8 versus 10 of 14. I mean, look, it's a darn good defense. And if you are able to squeak out games like that and still win, despite the fact that this season doesn't necessarily matter, that's good. But on the other hand, you have games like the Texas Tech game where they blow you out of the water. They shoot 50% from field goal range and you woefully get 32.1. It's like live by the three, die by the three. If you live by the defense, you could also die by the defense. They can't shoot. And
especially what they were running for most of the game last night was a pressure zone. And the best way to beat a zone is shoot over it. And if you like, which Tech did, they shot over our defense. But the other thing is if you can flip the ball fast enough against a pressure zone, you're going to have a quick, easy, I shouldn't say easy. You're going to have a shot through the lane to the bucket. And especially with how because they're basically running a 2-3 zone is what I was seeing last night is. So they're flowing around. And if you can pin them and then move the ball across the court quickly, they're in trouble. And TCU actually did that a lot. And that's something that really upset me was TCU was so much faster around the ball. Just the pop, 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 moving the ball, you know, spacing everything. Like they should have won that game. I don't know how Oklahoma State won that game.
I don't either. And honestly, you need your assistant coaches to not, you know, move around every other year, man. You need an assistant coach that will stay with you for however long you want them to. And I assume in 2022, he'll recruit better because this is his first time being a head coach. He's 40. He just turned 40. He's got a lot to learn when it comes to being a head ball coach. And I definitely think that he can make up for it as the years go on. But right now it's kind of tough. You're basically watching the Memphis Grizzlies if they were like a JV team. Well, you're watching Memphis Grizzlies.
And the worst part is
like in the grit and grind era.
And the worst part is we're getting screwed for no reason. Like there's even been reports that like Kansas is not going to get popped, even though they've got all the FBI investigations. And we got popped for $300. I mean, that's stupid. I mean, I might have standing to sue the NCAA as a fan. Like, that is insane to me. But I mean, but like those kids are living with or living with, and that sucks. And I don't know. I just really want.
I want you to listen to this. All right. Ready? The NCAA, this is 14 minutes ago. The NCAA officially, this is from Marshall Levinson. The NCAA officially adopted the changes. Its constitution committee suggested, the official announced today. This was Article 4. They might as well have tagged OSU men's basketball. Division and, as appropriate, conference regulations must ensure to the greatest extent possible that penalties imposed for infractions do not punish programs or student-athletes not involved nor implicated in the infractions.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Can we get an apology? Can we get our ban undone? Like, if you're going to add this, then you might as well just say, hey, OSU are bad. We're going to drop the postseason ban like we should have done the entire freaking time.
Well, you know, and especially with what the new president has done, I don't remember her name exactly, but
Shrum.
Yeah, she's gonna lawyer up. You know, she's gonna sue them for postseason eligibility for a lot of reasons, and she should. Like, I really like what she has done as president of OSU. I think she was a great hire, and what she's done for sports. And granted, she walked in, she didn't know it, but she walked into a minefield walking in, but she's been amazing. And I think that given the right way to do it, which the NCAA is showing that they're like, hey, look, this is what we think now. She's going to sue and be like, look, this is why we should be in the postseason.
Well, A, I'm going to give you this question right now.
Mm-hmm.
As it stands, OSU makes a tournament.
15 seed, but yes.
15 seed?
We're 10-7, man.
That's not good. 15 seeds are for the auto bids. That means we'd have to get the auto bid. This team is not capable of being in the tournament. I'm just going to say it right now. As of what they have shown me, they're not capable because of the things that you've mentioned.
All things
they can't shoot.
Right now, all things being right equal, now. If you look at the teams that have been selected over the years, and granted, we still have to go through the back half of the Big 12, which is Murderer's Row.
Mm-hmm.
Which, at the end of the back half of that, we will not be a tournament team. We're going to be like, I don't know.
If lucky, we're 500.
If we're lucky, we'll be 500. Right.
And that's okay. That's okay.
We're, at best, in an NIT. Team, I mean, it's
just, are we banned from the NIT?
Yes, we're banned from all
places.
We're not even allowed to play in the Big 12 tournament, man.
Can they just let us play in the NIT? Like,
let us, I don't even care about the NIT. Let us play in the Big 12 tournament.
We can do that too. I prefer both.
But I mean, we're banned from everything. And that's the worst part. All right. Let's move away from basketball a little bit. Softball and baseball rankings came out this week.
Ooh, it's almost that time, man. I'm excited.
I knew softball would be really good. I knew they were top five, top 10 in the country, but everyone says they're number three in the country in softball. So if everything goes, you know, chalk, the entire NCAA softball tournament runs through Oklahoma because OU's number one. And God, Bedlam's going to be lit. It's all get out. Like I will, especially when the tournament comes around, I will probably come and fly to Oklahoma just to see OSU, OU, Bedlam in the tournament. Because there's a really good chance, that it's going to be number one, Oklahoma, number three, Oklahoma State in the title game. And if that happens, I will be in the stands.
Dude, is that a ballpark? Because they also host the Big 12 softball tournament. And they host the the state tournaments there.
Well, they also host the world.
It's freaking nice, dude. It's so freaking nice. With their twice as pet. I loved it. Got sunburned. Loved it, though.
And the men's team came in number seven, which is insane, which I had no idea. I knew we were good in baseball, but I had no idea we were number seven in baseball. That is crazy. Well,
it's weird because OSU was a three seed in an Arizona regional where they got shellacked by, I think, both Arizona and another Cal team. So I'm assuming that they have just gone ham in recruiting and they got a good old bunch of freshman class coming in and some transfers and that they look solid. And also, I think they were hurt. They had some pitchers hurt. So they're going to have some guys, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch them. Oh, have you been to a break yet?
I have not been to anyone yet.
Go. Go. It is beautiful. Go.
Yeah, I actually had tickets to the opener, but COVID happened, and yeah, so I wasn't able. Like, I had to cancel my flights and all that shit. It was – I'm going to delete that out. My bad.
I made a fail. I was like, oh, no. He said, oh.
But yeah, I really want to go. I've seen it. I've actually got to see it about a year ago. I drove Pyatt. You know, I was in Stillwater for other reasons. And, but yeah, that is a, that's a beautiful stadium, man.
I'm going to tell you right now, dude, there's not a bad scene there. Not a bad scene there at all. It's not. Not one bad seat in that place. I sat in multiple seats. I think the only game I went to there. No bad seats.
Yeah, no, it's, no. Yeah, it's... Yeah, so how about this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls who like to listen to this podcast? Let's do this. Let's say me, Ian, and you go to a baseball game. I will fly in. All you've got to do is donate $20 to the Animal Society or the Reading Society in Stillwater, and you pick a game. I'll come in and we'll watch a game and hang out. It'll be great. That's it. That's all you
got.
How
does that work?
So if
people, do we add a tip jar and then we do the donating?
Well, no. People just tell us, hey, look, I donated this. We're going to do this game and I'll fly in and it'll be great. Like I have no problem flying in for an Oklahoma State baseball game. That'd be so much fun to hang out with the listeners. Yeah. So just do that. It's not a big deal. I mean, it's $20, right? Let's raise some money for some puppies.
Heck yeah, dude. Ooh, okay. So, you know how, I think we talked about this kind of early on, but we mentioned how there wasn't a neutral site game for OU, for Bedlam, right? March 29th, Oklahoma is at One Oak Field in Tulsa. And
baseball, then there's softball.
Baseball.
Ooh, that'd be good. Baseball.
And then there's three games really in Stillwater, apparently. Which, don't they usually do the, like, two games and then one at the other place?
There's almost always, like, a Bricktown game, and there's almost always a one-out game, and there's almost always a other game.
That's really weird. So here's what I'm kind of thinking. April 8th and April 10th, if you look on the OSU schedule, they're both on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. Which makes me think that April 9th game is going to be in Norman. Because that would be like Sooner Sports, that sort of thing. Their deal with like Bally or whatever. I think that's a possibility of that happening, but who knows? But if you're on the West Coast, there's a good stretch of games for baseball. You got Arizona State and BYU, both road trips. If you can, go to the BYU ballpark. I've heard it's very beautiful. I've seen pictures.
I mean, Utah is one of those places. I've been to Colorado. I've never been to Utah, but like Utah is supposed to be one of the most beautiful places in the entire country. So yeah, if you can go there, go there.
It's honestly hard to believe that we are less than a month away from softball, because they start February 10th in Tempe, and we are a little less than a month out from the Vanderbilt series in Nashville, which is February 18th.
Well, and we also got, you know, golf is starting up.
Yeah.
The men start in Hawaii, of all places, on the 3rd. And the women start in Dallas on the 1st, I think. And both teams are poised to destroy people. I have been really following these teams. And if you don't like golf, you should just unsubscribe right now, because the next 6 months are going to be all about golf. But the men are always competitive, and they are ranked number 2 in the country. But the women are crushing people. They're winning by like 20 strokes in tournaments. They are amazing, and I'm going to do my best. And if someone out there knows somebody who can help me figure this out, but I'm going to do my best to interview every single one of them. I want them on this podcast. I want this to be the golf podcast, period. Because golf is amazing. And if you hate it, well, boo. Don't.
Okay. I'm glad you saved it there. So speaking of another spring sport, tennis. Princeton.
Yeah, the women are going crazy right now, too. Yeah, they are awesome and right now.
They host South Carolina the Sunday, 12 o'clock, Greenwood Tennis Center. That venue is a phenomenal place. It's both indoor and outdoor. Really phenomenal. So, they have South Carolina on the 23rd. Then they have an ITA kickoff weekend in Columbus before hosting Missouri February 3rd. So two SEC tennis schools.
And something I will admit, I am awful at tennis. There are very few sports that I am more bad at than tennis. But I appreciate the athleticism and what they're doing, but it's really hard for me to like be like, oh yeah, this person is really good at tennis. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, they're really good at tennis. Because I don't know what good at tennis means.
Announcing tennis is super weird. I mean, you just announce the names and stuff. So I'll be doing that a little bit this year. Brody Myers usually has that. But when he's calling softball, they call me. So I'll be at a couple of those. We'll see how the schedule plays out. But I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, so that there's my thing there. Hey, I also announced tennis.
Well, good for you, man. That is awesome that you do
Have we not talked about wrestling yet?
You mean how
they're
Oklahoma
also
State is in their wrestling matches so far has scored 350 something points versus their opponent's 30. They have only lost three individual bouts. They aren't good.
20, yeah.
They aren't good. They are world-class domination level. Like, if they don't win, the NCAA tournament and they don't have multiple individual champions, it's a failure. Like,
hold on. Litmus test is Iowa at the Battle of the Ballparks. Depending on how well they do against Iowa, then I agree with you. But I know they've been dominant, but how much of that is against inferior opponents?
I agree, true too, but
I mean, 23 to Minnesota was a pretty good test. They are number 11. They lost 23 to, or they won 23 to 10. Everybody else has been dominant. Stanford was a 29-7 thing, but Iowa is a school that is dominant in wrestling. So I'd be weary of that before we crown them just yet. There will probably be some national champions, I hope, knock on wood. But as far as a team national championship is concerned, gotta wait to say anything until Iowa in Arlington, Texas, which is sick.
Okay, so I'm going to ask this question, which you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but with golf, both golfs, men's and women's, softball, baseball, wrestling, how many natties do you think we pull in as a team?
As a team? Okay. As a team, it would be so OSU if it was zero. It would be so OSU if it was zero. I think they get one. At least one. I hope at least one. Because yeah, I feel like golf, they could either get both in golf or one in golf. OU's a buzzsaw in softball. That's going to be tough as always. Wrestling, Penn State, Iowa, that's always going to be tough. But it feels like it would be classic OSU if they were to win nothing team-wise.
All right. So
I hope not. I hope not, but
I'm going to go with three.
In on wood, just in case.
Women's
Which
golf.
Three? Okay.
Men's baseball and men's wrestling.
Not women's golf?
I think they're really good, but Pepper, like the other programs are also really good.
If anything, I think OSU women's golf would be
four
team to beat.
Okay. Four teams. Because OSU women's golf is,
I'm scared,
insanely good. Because it's hard to actually watch women's collegiate golf. But what I've seen of them and their players on like Golf Channel and stuff, they are brilliant. I mean, they're not just good. They will dominate on the women's tour kind of good. It's crazy. They are special golfers.
And I think the revenge factor comes into play because I think they lost to Ole Miss. So I think there is going to be a fire in them that really wants to win this year because revenge tours are fun. So
that too,
if there was going to be one, I would say them.
And I also think that, Oklahoma State is known as a golf school. And I think the women's team wants to be like, we're the golf school too. And I honestly think the women, especially with that freshman from England, I don't remember her name, but she is incredibly good. She could be on the pro tour right now, like no issue. And like the fact she's playing for us is incredible and it's insane. So she's going to be amazing. And I honestly think there's 3 to 4 natties out there for us this spring. Because if you start in top seven in baseball, you got a real chance at winning a natty. Top 3 in softball. Yeah, you got to go through OU, which is always the hardest part.
Basketball is so weird to me. Or baseball, just because there's so many teams that come out of nowhere. It's much like March Madness where you're probably not safe as you think you are.
Well, but it's because baseball is a different kind of game. Baseball is a game built on averages. And it's one of those things where you got 2 good pitchers that you can roll out every 3 or 4 games. That changes the dynamic a whole lot. And so, I mean, well, and it's also true of softball because pitchers especially can go every other game basically, right? I mean, you know that sport more than I do, but I know those girls can pitch both ends of a doubleheader at some times.
Oh, yeah. We had high school, they'll just have one pitcher most of the time. And it works. I mean, I think it has something to do with the motion. It's less stress on the arm compared to baseball. So, I think it is going to be – it's going to be something to monitor, and there's going to be so much stuff on, ESPN Plus with – all of that. It's going to be so fun to watch, and I'm all here for it. I'm ready for this cold to get out of the freaking way. Let's go spring, baby.
I love the cold, man.
I do too, just not right now. It's too cold. It's a little too cold for my, it's like 7 degrees or something. Hold on.
Man, if I was in Oklahoma right now, I just go walk outside.
It's like 22 degrees.
I would put on my beanie. I would definitely, put a jacket on, whatever. But I would just walk outside and just like, this is nice. Like, I love the cold, man. I love it. I love it so much.
I love the cold when it is inside. Like that. Dude.
All right. Cowboys and cowgirls, I think it's going to wrap this up for this episode of Ingles and Ian. And again, sorry it's been so long since things have been around again, but here we are. For the first time since the last time, your good friend of mine, Jacob Ian,